From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, arbitration episode, arbitrations. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on your streaming devices as well as iTunes, Podcast Republic, between your Stitcher apps. Talking to Ranger Proud, get some information on some of these deals that is happening with our team and around the NHL. R. Pizzle, my man, what's going on? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's it going today? Everything's going really good.
Not bad, not bad, man.
Said getting some little bit of hockey going on here with the Rangers, a couple of signings, you know. Still waiting for still waiting for something big to happen. But
right. I mean, it's always that time of the year. You already know how that is. So, you know, we kind of expect it. So it is what it is. But let's discuss on what we do know. You can fill me in as far as with the signings with Trouba. I know he's got $8 million a year, and that's kind of to be expected. But what about the rest of the leftover, whatever is left, scraps of the cap space for the rest of the team? We still got, Lemieux?
There is nothing left.
Say what?
There is the Rangers are as up against the salary cap as you can imagine there.
All right.
They have zero available as per cap friendly. They won't be able to make any other transactions, I believe, until they make some moves, trades, dumb players. I don't know what's going on because the Trouba deal was 7 years at $56 million, and it was it's an $8 million a year against the salary cap. So it tied the Rangers up. I mean, he has a full – his first season, this upcoming season, is an $8 million hit. And then the next the next four seasons, I'm a little surprised on this, is a full no-move clause. And then he has a modified no-trade clause the last two seasons. So some people were saying it's a good contract, but the Rangers haven't learned from the Mark Stahl and Henrik Lundqvist kind of no trade moves, how they can kind of bite you in the ass, especially on the back end of the contracts. You know, in year 6 and 7, it's a modified no trade clause. You would have thought maybe they would have put that earlier in the contract in the last 2 years, kind of be what it may be. But it's what the Rangers and Trouba's teams are agreed on, and that's what it is. Salary wise, it really wasn't that big of a surprise. $8 million a year, 7 years. He was going to get that wherever he went, other than staying at Winnipeg. So the numbers are pretty much what everyone thought it would be. It wasn't really anything wow, but for the salary cap, the Rangers are absolutely hurting right now. So they're going to have to figure out some way because they still have to sign, Buchnevich, Lemieux, and D'Angelo. Three big guys for the team, three young guys on the team. There's been no word on what's going on with Chris Kreider. Right now, everything is status quo. I mean, he's still on the contract for this year. Technically, they don't really need to do anything, but you would think if they were going to make a trade to rid players of some money, you would have thought maybe a package deal and to get rid of some big salary, maybe bring back a little bit of salary or draft picks or a little bit of both. There's, you know, multiple ways that the Rangers could go trade-wise. The buyouts, if there's going to be a buyout, I've read somewhere and I haven't been able to find it again, but I don't think the Rangers are eligible to do the buyout until after the arbitration hearings are over, which would be sometime next week. That's why we probably haven't heard anything about that. But it's weird there. I mean, there are two other teams, I should say, in the same spot as the Rangers cap-wise, where they have, on paper, zero cap space available right now. It's the Rangers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, am I reading this right? And that's projected. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, guys. There are two teams. It's the Rangers and I believe the Golden Knights that are up against the cap with nowhere to go. So they're not the only team in it, you know, with these problems, but they're pretty close. Excuse me, the Knights made the trade today, so they have $1 million free in cap space. But the Dallas Stars have less than $1 million. The Caps have less than $1 million. The Coyotes have less than $1 million. And Pittsburgh, Toronto, and New York are at zero projected cap space.
How does that happen?
An interesting problem.
I mean, I know we signed guys, but how does that happen? Hold on.
I know we signed guys.
We had a gang cap space, but just the fact. I just find it amazing that. How it just turns around so quick. The money just goes that quick,
It just went. And the way that that I'm looking at it, well, you know, you got to remember, you just have to look at the guys that they signed and what they did.
Right.
You know, you signed Panarin to the big deal as a free agent. Now you've signed Trouba to a big contract. They signed Kako to his entry-level contract, and now you just run, you know, they signed Kraftstoff to entry level contract, Chestov into an entry level contract, Adam Fox. It all adds up. And like we were saying earlier, it wasn't like they weren't surprised by it. I think fans are just more surprised that moves haven't made to free it up. The upper limit of the salary cap is $81.5 million. The Rangers right now sit at 82.4. So they're not a little over the cap. They're almost $3 million over the cap. So they have until, I believe it's September or maybe even the very beginning of before the first real game of the season to work out the cap. But they also won't be able to, I don't know if they'll be able to sign any more players until they get some freed up space. So you and I would say in the last 2 weeks, well, they had a game plan. You know, they know what they're doing, but kind of cutting it close. But that's from the fan and the blogger, from someone like myself who's totally out of the loop, just trying to anticipate what they're looking at. I still believe that they have a whole game plan, and it might concern, maybe it's two buyouts. I mean, we won't know until it happens. You can always say no news is good news, but the Rangers have to make some moves. Now, they did take care of Trouba, so the next date, that everyone's to look at is July 29th when Buchnevich's arbitration hearing is scheduled for. Will it get that far? Will it be part of a trade? These are whatever the things everyone's waiting for, you know, to see what happens. It's really a lot of teams seem to be having the same issue. When you really look at the cap, there are some teams, even if you have $2 million in free cap space, it's a lot of money, but you're not going to be able to sign many players with $2 million. So there are a lot of teams. There are like 10 teams that are between no zero cap and that $2 million mark, $2.5 million mark. It's a very weird thing. And then go to the other end, Steve. Ottawa, who we know is struggling, they have $20 million in cap space. Could the Rangers possibly make a deal with them? Could they make a deal with Winnipeg again with $17 million in space? The Devils, who I doubt the Rangers would really trade with, and Colorado both have over $16 million, $16.5 million available. Columbus has $15 million available. So there are a lot of suitors out there. It's the point, do these guys want to work with the Rangers knowing the spot the Rangers are in? You know, it'll come down to that.
Business is business, so I don't see why not.
And a good thing is JD has a really good reputation with a lot of the teams and the organizations.
Right, that's true.
So I think there is a game plan, and they're just not coming out with it, because why would you come out with it? When the time comes, everybody would know what the game plan is. So it has been an interesting couple of weeks with these signings and what they're doing and what they haven't done yet, really. You know, there's a lot.
I am anxious as far as how they're going to handle all three of them. You know, we talked about it for the last several weeks with Buchnevich, but Lemieux is a guy we definitely like, and of course D'Angelo, and how that kind of is a domino effect, kind of to your point, which you've been stating with your information as far as, you know, with other guys around the league like a Pionk. This is a interesting situation. I'm pretty sure they will figure it out. Like, I don't see why not. There's got to be a trade in there somewhere. You can free up a little bit of space. Maybe get one of these guys signed. I mean, that's
the
only way.
Buy out somewhere. I don't see how they can, how they can't buy out someone at this point. I mean, whatever money you save this year, you can, you can save this year. But I don't know if a trade. Remember something? If you make a trade, you're going to bring back some salary, or you're going to retain some salary. You're not going to trade. I mean, other than Nemstikov, you're not going to trade a Chris Kreider and get back a draft pick because he's just too good. That's too much of a giveaway. But on the flip side to it, he's making $4.6 million this year. So if you trade him and you bring a guy back that's making $3 million, you only save $1.6 million.
But you want to do that, though? I mean, since we brought up his name, do you want him to be the sacrificial
lamb?
Do
we
want to
trade Kreider? I I'm looking at numbers, okay? And I understand what everyone's saying. I'm just looking at if you're going to make a trade, you got to trade someone who's got a high ticket. You're not going to trade Elias Anderson, Philip Hyde. I'm just using their names, guys. I'm not looking to trade because they're only making $894,000 this year. I say only. It's a ton of money in hockey standards. It's not. You wouldn't really be helping. You wouldn't really be helping yourself. So who are you looking? Your top guy is money-wise on the team. And Panarin obviously is not going to be in. Panarin's making $11 million this year. He is not anywhere in the conversation. Then Zibanejad's making 5.3, and we know he's not going.
He's not going nowhere.
Kreider's making 4.6. Nemstikov's making 4. They're both unrestricted free agents at the end of this season. Ryan Strom's making 3.1, and he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season with arbitration rights. So he's the same as Truber and Buchnevich. After that, Matt Beliski is still on the roster. He's making 1.9, and Jesper Fats is making 1.8. All the rest of your forwards on this team are making under $1 million. Kako, Hedo, Anderson, Howden, McCaig, Bunievs, and of course Brendan Lemieux and Buchnevich aren't on the cap because they're restricted free agents right now. Now go to your defense side, Steve. Truba just signed the $8 million, so he's not going anywhere. Shattenkirk's making 6.5. Stahl's making 5.7. They both have 2 years left in their contracts and their UFAs. Brady Shea, we know, isn't going anywhere. He's making 5.2. Brendan Smith's making 4.3. Fox, LeBoy, Hayek are making 900 and 800,000 respectively. And D'Angelo we're waiting on because he's a restricted free agent. If you're going to make a move, I think the buyouts are going to come from defensemen. I think either he's going to buy out Shattenkirk and or he's going to buy out Smith. It really doesn't pay to remember. It really doesn't pay to buy out Shattenkirk because either way, next season, you got to pay him over $6 million. This year, I think we looked at it last time, Shattenkirk gets $1.9 or $2 million or something. So you would save $4 million on him, which they might need. Brendan Smith is the one that makes more sense because instead of paying him 4.3 the next 2 years, I think he would get $3 million next year and what was it, 1.1 this year? I don't have the numbers in front of me. He always seemed to be the most logical buyout. I mean, obviously, they're not going to do anything with Lundqvist or with Gorgiev because he's making $792 this year, and he's a restricted free agent next year. There aren't a lot. If you're going to make a trade to save salary, guys, there aren't that many players that you're going to look at to move.
Right.
To bring back. You're gonna trade a forward and bring another forward back, and that forward's gonna be making $1 or $2 million a year. So if you trade Nemstikov for for whomever, and he's making 2.5, you're only saving 1.5 when you make that trade. So that's why a lot of people talk about trading Nemstikov for a third round pick. People are saying, and when I say people, it's just bloggers that I'm reading and opinions and views because the organization's been really tight-lipped about it. If you trade him for a draft pick, at least you're getting rid of that $4 million.
Exactly.
You're not
That's what I meant by trade. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean get another asset for the same value. You could trade somebody, get a body bag, and
but
be
it's hard to trade.
Less than value. It is hard.
Right,
it is
hard,
but it's not.
It's
not
hard to trade a 26-year-old and get nothing back for the draft pick because of his salary. but the Rangers sort of put themselves in a situation getting to the point they're at now. Remember, when you signed Panarin, you knew you were going to be in a spot. He's making $6 million more than Zibanejad. So salary-wise, it's an interesting
cost.
It's an interesting problem, but something's got to give somewhere. You just don't have the money.
We'll definitely find out.
It's a monopoly right now. You would think you're going to know in the next 6 days if Buchnevich's thing is the 29th. It's Monday. Tomorrow's already Wednesday, so the clock is ticking on that.
You think they'll reach a deal by then? As far as with Buchnevich, like how do you think?
The only reason why I think they won't reach a deal is if they decide they need to move him to help make to package a deal up. You know. It depends what they're willing to give up. It really depends what they want to do with Kreider. I can't see if the Rangers aren't willing to sign. They have to know by now, are they willing to sign Kreider to another 5-year extension? He's 28 now. He'll be 33 if you extend him 5 years. And what value are you going to pay him? And they really need to work to figure that out now. Because if not, think about it. You could package a Kreider and maybe a Smith for someone, possibly. You know what I'm saying? Then maybe you don't use the buyout. It's so many different variables. I would really hope they keep. I would want them to keep Buchnevich, but if it's between Buchnevich and Kreider, that's a tough call. I mean, I don't know if it is that or not. But you remember, Buch is only 24 years old. He's got his entire career ahead of him. He hasn't, you know, it's a weird situation that the Rangers are in. There's a lot playing. He just completed his first entry-level contract. So he really hasn't done nothing yet. You know, the Rangers finally got him to that point where you're ready for him to explode, like you were saying last week. You're hoping he hits the 30-goal mark.
It's more business than anything between those two than the actual, chemistry, but just operations on ice. Because, I mean, obviously, if I had the choice, consider all things equal, it would definitely be Kreider. I would roll with Kreider, but we have to play in the factor with the money. The money is a huge issue in all this, so that's what makes it real tricky. That's why you're saying.
And you got to take his age in a little bit too. Not 28 years old by any means, but if you give him a 5 or 6 year contract, and you know, are the Rangers going to give Kreider, let's just say a 5-year deal, at $5 or $5.5 million a year? It's reasonable, but the thing is, if the Rangers want to do that. I think he's going to get that at least wherever he goes. I mean, didn't Zuccarello just get something similar? Even better, Zuccarello was a bad example. What did Kevin Hayes pull out when he signed with – Kevin Hayes is making $7.1 million for the
God bless him.
7 years. They gave him a $50 million contract, which in all essence really hurt the Rangers' ability to possibly sway – Kreider to stay. I mean, see, he's got a no-move clause in the first 3 years, and they gave him a modified no-trade clause in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big contract.
That's a huge one.
And I think that when Kreider and his camp saw that, I think everything changed.
I don't blame them.
I think they're like, well, if Hayes could do that, I mean, Hayes is 27 years old, so he's 1 year younger than
Kreider, right?
Then Kreider, actually, I'm wrong on that because he's gonna. Oh yeah, he just turned 27, so they're in the ballpark, but you know, age wise. I mean, I don't see the Rangers giving Chris Kreider 7.1 over 7 years. I just don't see it. If they were gonna do that, they would have just kept 7-8. They would have held on to Zuccarello, at his point production and skill production. So that's why I'm going to myself. I'm thinking they're looking to move Kreider, and maybe they haven't been able to or they haven't been serious enough yet. It's a really tough situation for everybody to be in. But the Rangers' entire progression to move forward is really going to center on what they want to do with him. When I say with him, I mean with Chris Kreider. Because you have to make up your mind somewhere. You can't do what you did last year. Now, mind you, Kreider's played in more games and he scored 133 goals as opposed to Hayes' 92 goals. So Philadelphia really went all out for some reason on Hayes. I mean, we knew he'd get another contract, but he's played in like 90 less games, and he scored maybe 40 less goals than what Kreider has scored. So they're pretty similar all around, and I don't see the Rangers giving Kreider a 7-year deal. I just don't. So, and I see Kreider's camp saying, well, if Philadelphia gave him 7 years, heck,
well,
I can't.
We ain't Philadelphia. Let's put it like that. We ain't Philly. That would be my reply.
We
ain't Philly.
That is just a huge – it's a huge contract.
Okay, let me ask you this. Hold on. What about D'Angelo? How he fits into all this mix? Like, how would you
– That was – D'Angelo is a whole nother. D'Angelo's, you know, he's been up and down since he came over from the Coyotes in 2017. He was in the minors a lot last year. They brought him up, and I would say the last third of last season, he probably played the kind of hockey David Quinn really wanted out of him. He looked better on the power play. He looked very confident on the ice. But that was just at the end of a playoff-less season. So, can he play at that level when everything means something in the beginning of the season? He's been a little bit up and down. Now, the Rangers must have some faith in him because they traded Neil Pionk, who was a really good, steady defenseman, over D'Angelo. Now, I don't know if that's what Winnipeg wanted or if that's what the Rangers were offering. That those are the factors that we don't know. Contract-wise, he doesn't have any arbitration rights and doesn't have a lot of leverage at all for his contract. The one thing I was unclear on is if he signs a 1-year contract or a 2-year contract, what does that do? Does he become a UFA at the end of the 2 years, or does he go for another contract? I forgot to hook that up before we went on the air, so I'm not sure. That's something I'm sure the Rangers understand and know. I think they should sign him, but I also think the Rangers are in a strong position because they had log jams with defensemen. So if they were going to make a trade, here's another guy that could be in a package. You could trade Buchnevich and D'Angelo, or D'Angelo and a Kreider, or if you threw one in Scruff. It all depends what other teams are looking for. The downside to it is D'Angelo hasn't had that outstanding career so far. He's had more downs than ups. And that's something, you know, it's just something hard to really push on. But since he's a restricted free agent and there's no real salary involved here, teams that are looking for a young defenseman, he might be able to get moved, and the Rangers can benefit out of that. So, I thought Pionk's contract was a little – I don't want to say it was a horrible contract, but he got $6 million for 2 years in Winnipeg, and I didn't think he was going to make $3 million a year. Good, solid, stay-at-home kind of defenseman, not a lot of offense. Smart hockey player, though, so you could see how it was good for him that he got the deal. But
he's a little gritty.
Contracts. But like you put, his signing already hurt the Rangers, and they didn't even play against them yet. Because now D'Angelo's got to be saying, well, if Pionk's got $3 million a year, I can at least get 2.5. And he's probably right. He just doesn't have as much leverage to get that. He may have to wait a little bit, or they may have to move him. So those. The cap really has become more and more of a problem for the Rangers since July 1st to now, and that's only been 22 days. You know, they signed Kako, and then they signed Trova now, and they didn't make any moves to alleviate the problem, and now they're getting more and more in the red, and it's becoming a problem. So somewhere something big is going to break. I still think it's going to be a big trade. I think they're going to try to make a big trade and retain as little salary as possible, or they're going to see two buyouts happen when the window opens again.
Right. Yeah. D'Angelo situation.
Sure,
I mean, I think it's really interesting, man. Like all three, how this all plays in with the cap. You know, because I was thinking about this right before the episode, and how you're explaining it is the same way how I was kind of thinking it. It's just a little bit of different things of the particulars as far as some of the years I didn't really put into play as far as futures, as far as monies and, you know, how it will play out had we keep a Kreider and how that would affect. But that, I mean, this all is a really – I mean, they have to have a plan. I mean, they would not have done the signings if they did not think this was going to happen, you know. So I'm not worried. I'm not necessarily worried about it. I'm just kind of curious on how they're going to play it out. Now, let me say how I think they would at this point. If the buyout is kind of a hard thing to do at this point, obviously it's going to be the defenseman. I don't think – there's no debate there. So, you know, Brendan Smith – if they could, probably makes the logical sense, and I agree with that. The other guys that could be possibly like a Shattenkirk or a Stahl or somebody like that, a little bit tougher, and we're definitely on the same page, RP, no doubt about that. Of the three, between Lemieux, DeAngelo, and Buchnevich, I honestly think it is Buchnevich that's kind of be a little bit of a challenge because of his position. Because like the points you said, as far as he's still young, we still really, really don't know until you actually, you know, have an actual real wingers with him or better lines with him. I think he definitely is peaking in the right direction based off the second half of last year. You saw a little bit of flashes, and this is why you want to work with this. Lemieux, as far as his, you know, coming over from the Jets, how he was a big body, he was more physical. We need that. I mean, we can't underestimate that, and I think we all know that you kind of have to have some sort of physicality. He's a young guy. His father played in the NHL. So, there's all different dynamics that all three of these guys bring to the table. And, they just got to find ways to scrape money. Some of these other contracts with the clauses is just – yeah. I mean, that's just – you know, with Sather and Gordon at the time, this is just the way they were doing business, and it's kind of back a few years back. Now it's 2019. It holds weight today is how they could get business done today because it's kind of hard to move some of this stuff. So, what is your if you had to put a logical premise or logical plan? Logically, what would Ranger Proud do if he was in the shoes of Gordon? Like, get something done. I mean, you can't have everything. So, what would you willing to cut bait with?
I'd buy out Smith. Next year, it'd be a little expensive, but it'll help you a lot this year. I don't know if I would use. I wouldn't buy out Shattenkirk, though everyone's saying that they should. It helps you this year, and it almost kills you next year. Because $6 million in dead cap space is just – it's a killer. You're paying him $6 million anyway if you keep him out. So I don't see why that would happen. So I wouldn't buy out Shattenkirk. I would really try to trade him if it was possible. You probably would have to retain at least half his salary, though, because he just hasn't had a good couple of seasons when he's been in New York. You know, and my biggest problem is the difference between Kreider and Buchnevich, because when Kreider plays his A game, there's nothing like it. But he's such an inconsistent hockey player.
On Kreider, real quick on Kreider. Do you think that narrative was more early on in his career? Because I thought, let's say the past season and the season before that, he's been – you don't think so?
No, because last year he had a great year. But look what he did in the second half of the season. He was invisible again. He really, when you look at his breakdown of when he scored, he had a great season overall, like goal-wise and point production-wise. He had 28 and 24 for 52 points in 79 games. And I'm like, that's a real solid season. But then when you look at his breakdown of goals, and he only scored 1, 2, 3, 4 goals from February to the end of the season. So he really quieted down again. I just thought that showed his inconsistencies that we were talking about all over again, and that's just not what you wanted. So what's the purpose of scoring, 29 or whatever I said goals in a season, and then you have the downtime that it's showing? How can I explain it? You need, in Kreider's case, especially he's pushing for what would be considered such a big contract, he just has too much up and down. From January 6th 2019 to the end of the season, 39 games, he only had 8 goals. 8 goals in the last 39 games of the season. So he had a great season, but in the first half. In the second half, he did nothing. He scored 28 goals up until January, and then only 8 goals after that. I'm not saying that it's horrible, but is that worthy of a $6 million a year contract?
Which is
what he's going to want.
Well, based off the Kevin Hayes value, it might be.
Right now, here's the funny thing. I'm trying not, and it's hard not to, because the Kevin Hayes contract changed. It set the bar, and you're 100% right. But you know, when you look at his season. And it's hard to tell. The year before that, he was already had the blood clot and all of that, so you don't want to go through that. When you look at his 2016-17 season, he had 75 games played. He was 28 and 25 for 53 points. But you just don't see the big goals all the time. And I know that sounds weird, and it might even be nitpicking and petty, but we're looking for consistency. I don't care if you only scored 15 goals a season. We're just looking for a little bit of consistency. And then when you look at his numbers, and I tend to look towards the second half of the season because that's where he seems to be really quiet. And in that year, in the last 35 games of the season in that season, he only scored 10 goals. So, again, he doesn't seem to be he's a strong playoff guy when we make the playoffs. And he's strong early in the season. But then he vanishes in that January point down. And if you're going to be paying him all that money, you want more than 9 goals in the last 40, 45 games of the season, especially with all the ice time that he gets. And these are just things that you're factoring in if you want to keep him or not, or sign him long-term or not. I'm not saying yay and nay. I like his style. I wish he could play at that level that we always talk about when he skates hard and he's throwing the body. And he's driving to the net.
Well, that's the other dimension that I got to take into account with him. I mean, he's not the one dimensional player, so that's why I'm kind of hesitant on. I understand why you're saying as far as offense. I almost kind of look at him how, in a sense of a version of Rick Nash when he came over, where he evolved. And I'm not saying Chris Carter evolved. I'm just looking at the game he plays. So I understand why you're saying
from
as far
scoring
as,
to a three zone. Strong, solid play. The problem is, I don't know if Kreider is at that either. You can't be watching hockey games. He is. So then do it this way. If he's evolving into sort of what a Rick Nash style would be, then he definitely should be getting that contract. But because Kevin Hayes got that contract and he changed the market value, someone's going to pay Kreider that. The Rangers need to determine is it going to be them or not. And they really need to determine it now. That's the problem is when you're saying, me in my heart, I would think they're going to trade Kreider. I just hope they do it early. Because if you drag it to December, then no one's going to make a trade with you because they're going to wait for the deadline when you're forced to make the trade. So that's where my problem lies. I think they should trade Kreider, especially if they're unsure what they want to do with salary, and I think they should do it earlier rather than later. I also think that the Rangers might have the opportunity to package him with another player to free up some more space, maybe get some more draft picks, and a solid roster player in return, obviously. So these are all, but if that was me, I'd buy out Smith, I would trade Kreider, and I would try to sign Buchnevich. That's going to be the other deal. If Buchnevich goes to arbitration, if he goes to the arbitrator, if he makes $4.4 million if he's awarded or less, the Rangers can't walk away from that. Now, that could be another problem. Because if he gets awarded an amount of money, $4.4 or less, the Rangers can't walk away. Now they're forced to trade players that they didn't want to trade. That's why I don't think the Rangers want to gamble going to arbitration now. Because they could get really burnt in this. So the arbitrator turns around and says, all right, you get 3.9 or 3.2 over the next 2 years, now the Rangers have got a problem because they can't walk away from it and they don't have the cap space for it. Now they're forced to cut, trade, move players they don't want to move. So I really don't see them taking that gamble of going to arbitration. So I really think they're going to try hard to sign him, or they're going to try even harder to trade him. So it's hard to predict what they want to do. Me personally, I want to keep Ryan Strome on the team. The problem is his salary is pretty high. He's making 3.1. You pay for what you get. He's a really good three-way player, like to call him. He can play in any zone. He can play any special teams. I think he fits in great on this team. I told you that last week. That hasn't changed. So, those are the moves that I would think they would make if I was in Gorton. Those are the moves I would try to make. But, Steve, you got to remember, we don't know what's being offered on the other side. They obviously probably having trouble moving Nemstikov. Otherwise, I think they would have already. I think people are seeing the same things that we're all seeing. He's just not scoring nearly at the pace he was when he was with Tampa. He doesn't seem to be the kind of player that can do it on his own, and he's got a big ticket on it for one more season. The Rangers might have to take $2 million of that salary just to move him to try to save $2 million, which is something they might have to consider. Fans aren't going to like it. You get a draft pick back, and you got to pick up $2 million of his salary. But if you don't, you might be stuck with the whole $4
million. I'll probably have to do it next episode. I have to go back and really analyze Kreider's production. You said after January to the point where the Rangers – I'm trying to see at what point where the Rangers were fully out of contention. So around January, you know, that's right that's definitely around the All-Star break. A little bit later. I don't remember them having a bad January. I mean, it was an up and down January. I know they had like a 3-game losing streak in there. I know they had lost to when they came off the West Coast. Huh?
Right. You're talking about last
when they were in the West Coast. Remember they lost to Arizona, and I think they lost to Vegas. Like this was around New Year's, something like that. But I thought that January was kind of up and down. I'm just trying to remember.
He only scored 3 goals in January last year. 2, 3. Right. He scored 3 goals January.
But the Rangers were up and down. I mean, they won one. That's how their January went. They could have put a string of wins. Win, loss. That was the kind of January. But I don't remember at what point they were really out of the wild card picture. I don't think it was January.
It might have been the end of January. No, I don't think it was the wild card. No, they were probably in it longer. I would think they were in it longer than that. Hold on one second. I know what you're – I'm trying to find out the team splits. I would think in it longer than that because – As bad as they were, it really
got mailed in. I thought in March. March was when I remember coming on the podcast with you, and they just couldn't get out of their own way. They started running into those teams like Tampa. You know, they ran into Tampa game. They lost in the overtime game. And remember, they lost the overtime games, back to back overtimes to the Capitals and the Lightning. That it was like March, around March. That's when I thought it was really.
I want to know what his production was. If you go to, let's just start at March 3rd. Even better, March 3rd. The Rangers lost to Montreal on March 3rd, 2019.
I remember that.
So if you go to March 3rd,
that was a home game.
You go to March 3rd, and there were 16 games from 16. March 3rd to the 16 games Kreider played in, and he had 2 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah, that's not good. That really hurts his case right there.
No power play
goals. That's when the Rangers really out.
No goals, right. He had no power play points. And he was averaging 16 minutes of ice a game. 16 minutes of ice a game, and he only had 2. And I'm not sitting here trying to rip Kreider apart. I'm just trying to show, you got to look at the whole thing. Picture.
Zibanejad was in the lineup, right? Yeah, he had to be in the lineup. So Zibanejad was in the lineup. Yeah, he was definitely in the lineup around then. Yeah, so I don't. Around that time. Absolutely.
He played the entire season last year. That's right. He played all 82 games last year.
Yeah, that's really hard. That's a hard case for Kreider, man. It's hard to make
now,
a case for Kreider.
Now, mind you, if you compare them to the same time, just to show that it's not a an incredible difference. From January 6th to the end of the season for Zimbanejad, just number-wise, in 42 games, Kreider played in 39 in that same period. Zimbanejad played in 42. Zimbanejad scored 19 goals and 21 assists. He had 40 points in the last 42 games. And the Rangers were eliminated from wild card and playoff contention and all of that at the same time. Zimbanejad averaged 5 minutes a game more than Kreider did, but he took advantage of all of that. So what I'm trying to show is, if you're going to give a guy $7 million a year, $6.5 million a year, you need to be put up better numbers, bottom line. It's just a bottom. There's nothing more to it. It's just the bottom line.
You got me, man. I can't defend that.
Zimbanejad is 26 years old. Kreider is 28. And don't get me wrong. Kreider's going to get his money. Hayes has already proved it. Zuccarello, if you look at Zuc's contract, he already proved that if you produce that your age doesn't matter. And we all said how much we like Zuccarello, and not just because who he was, but how he played on the ice. Zuc just signed a 5-year contract getting $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So if Zuc's getting $6 million a year and Hayes is getting over $7 million a year, you would think that Kreider's going to fall on that 6.5 point. Maybe
right.
6, because Zuc's probably a little bit more point productive and more reliable. Even if
mm-hmm.
it's 6, it's good on the bottom of the spectrum. The Rangers going to give Kreider a 7-year, $42 million contract. But someone's going to. Because right now that's what the market is. Zuccarello is 3 years older than Kreider, and he signed a 5-year, $30 million deal. Someone's going to give Kreider the money. I just don't think it's going to be the Rangers. I think if they're Kreider, Zucco and Hayes go, God, I hope they trade Kreider instead of just doing it at the deadline to get a first-round draft pick, because that's dragging him and his salary all the way through for no reason.
That is true.
But these are the problems that they're looking at. The market changed dramatically in free agency just in the last 2 weeks. Happened to be with
the
Rangers, so fans know the two guys that changed the market more than anybody else. But, I mean, I was shocked with the Hayes signing. Zuc, there were rumors going he was going to get that number. But the Hayes was wow. Especially they went to Alain Vigneault, and them two never really seemed to fit. He played well on the number. It was always, stories and this and that. But I guess it was either wrong or it was water under the bridge or money talks. he
pretty
got
much.
Some deal to come back to the East. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, those some of the moves.
I was going to say, all those points is, I can't really even defend that. You know how I am with you. It's, if it makes sense, it makes sense. And if I try to defend it, I usually have a comeback. Everything logically just from what you're saying, it just, I can't go against that. It's really hard to make a compelling argument as far as that production in March. I couldn't remember it exactly right off the top of the fly, but I remember something vague. RP, give us a final thoughts as well, because I think next week what I would love to do is let's break down some of these centers on our team as is. We could look at their games, the pros, the cons, strengths, weaknesses. And we could get into more of the contract talks by the time next week and see how that is at that point. Final thoughts from Ranger Proud. Congratulations to Trouba on his $8 million. Now we got to figure out on this negative cap space. So any additional final thoughts for RP?
No, I think we hit everything on the head tonight. It's a waiting game. I mean, we're going to know a lot more by this time next week because Dushnevich's scheduled arbitration hearing is for Monday. And, hopefully know more by then. Hopefully it doesn't go through to the arbitration process itself. But I think the Rangers are going to have something done before that date comes just to get some idea of cap because they're over now and really have to figure out what to do. I wouldn't expect them to be making any other moves until they make some trades. Or maybe they're just going to wait and see what the arbitrator offers Buchnevich and see what they're going to do then. I really don't know. It is a very unusual time for the Rangers. I don't remember to recall the time they've been this predicament in July, salary cap wise. I mean, they've been close many years, but this is ridiculous. But like I said, they're not alone. They're not alone. A lot of teams are in. Look, until today, the Knights made a trade tonight. I forgot who it was. They were at zero, and now they're only $1 million in cap space. But it's an improvement. So it's something that's also going to take time. They're not going to make one or two trades, and then bang, they have $5 million in space. It's not going to work that way. It's going to be a combination of buyouts, or trades, maybe, you know, moving guys up and down the AHL. Let's see who makes the roster. There's going to be a lot to it. The Rangers do have time, but they're kind of limited on what they can do right now.
Right on. Arbitration episode of the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Of course, podcast for public tuning in your Stitcher apps, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Our Pizzle will be back. Let's get into some of these centers, some of this roster, because we get into the month of, well, we'll still be in July, then get through the month of August with all the position players and who's still on the roster at this time. And then we can definitely look forward into September as far as preseason action as well. RP, final, good talking with you, and we'll be back next week. Get on to the centers. I'd like to really look at these players instead of their contracts, man. Sandra,
I hear you.
I really want game action. Let's get to the fall. Sandra, who will bleed blue? Man.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.